You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we talk about the Trump campaign after the KKK embraced Donald Trump in its official newspaper.
First, there's no solid rule book for etiquette when it comes to how we communicate in the digital age. But one emerging guideline seems to be answers should be given in the medium the original communicator has selected. That's according to Slate.com. In other words, if somebody sends you an email, you answer with an email. You don't call or text.
It can be a confusing and murky time that's causing some head scratching. One other lingering question, why is the email that's the most important to us often the one that we never get around to answering?
Amy Alcon is here to help us sort it out. She's a science help author, a speaker and podcaster, and she's the author of the book Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say the F Word. Amy, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. I love this topic.
It is. Well, yeah. And are there any general rules of etiquette that we've somehow all managed to agree on when we communicate in the digital age?
Actually, probably not. But the Slate columnist is wrong. You know, the thing that you have to do is find out what people's preferences are and go with them, because some people prefer to get a phone call. Some people prefer to get an email. And so the thing is, especially for people under 40, the phone call has become rude largely. I mean, that's not if your doctor's office is calling you to tell you if you have a brain tumor, but, you know, in a lot of cases. And so that's something to consider.
Right. That's so interesting, that thing about phone calls becoming rude. I have kind of intuited that, and just based on also how I feel if I get a phone call, when I think to myself crabbly, but I emailed you, why are you calling me? You know, but it used to be a mark of courtesy. You called people. What do you think is going on?
Well, calls are special if it's your friend from Paris and you haven't talked to them for a long time. But we all have all these methods of communicating that allow people to get to your communication when it's convenient for them. As opposed to, you know, basically, it's like walking into somebody's office, shoving everything off their desk and say, you listen to me right now, you hear? You know, to call somebody when you can contact them in all these other ways.
Yeah, people have been retroactively looking at the etiquette of the, you know, the landline phone era. When you make a noise happen in somebody's house, not caring what they're doing, sleeping, eating, whatever, in the meantime, with the expectation that they're going to drop everything and talk to you then. Were we, without thinking about it, really rude in the era of just phone calls?
Well, no, because we had a lot more etiquette about when you call people. You didn't call people in the middle of the night, you know, and now, you know, people actually, this is a big problem with work email. People's bosses email them in all hours, and work is so competitive in many areas that people feel compelled to be checking their email at 9 p.m. when they should be having a life. So that's something that I advise, that you email people you do business with during business hours. And if you're a boss, you create the moratorium. You don't have this just be not spoken, because then everybody will do that. They'll email you at 7:30 or 11:30. And then what, you're supposed to wake up and answer that email like as if there's a fire?
No, that's interesting. That's one that I struggle with, because I'm a night owl. And sometimes it's when I get stuff done is at night. And especially with texting, I guess, because that is something that if someone hasn't turned off the sound, their phone could ding and could wake them up. But on the other hand, I'm thinking of it then. And if I don't act then, you know, it might not ever get done. So do you think we should not also text, for instance, after a certain hour?
Right. Well, people need to be proactive. And what I do at night is I put my phone on airplane mode. So if you're having a heart attack, you should probably text somebody else. But I tell people this. And actually, the thing to do, this is the thing that I do because I'm very impatient and a needy client to my literary agent. And I want to email her immediately and get an answer immediately. But instead, I write the email and I send it to myself and I write a time in the little subject line. And you can do that with text to send later, because you know you're going to wake people up. I realized that after people started waking me up in the middle of the night with text, like, sup, I'm sleeping.
Well, one big etiquette question out there is, how soon are we obliged to respond to the text or the email? And I'm on both sides of this. People bug me, hey, Rob, why didn't you get back to me sooner? And I'm like, well, I've got lots of emails. It takes time. On the other hand, as somebody who sometimes, you know, produces radio segments, I'm expecting people to get back to me as soon as humanly possible, so I know what's happening on the show tomorrow. So what are the rules of thumb on response time?
Well, we know that those emails like yours, you know, that they are very time sensitive. So it helps to write time sensitive on them for anyone who's kind of dumb. You know, they don't think that you're going to be on the Pony Express version of the radio, you know. And so, but the thing is, what I say is that technology makes a nearly instant response possible. It doesn't mandate it. But then on the other hand, you know, people, they get their feelings hurt or, you know, they're waiting for some response, especially if it's creative work. So what I think is important to do is when you can't respond promptly, say so. Tell them, look, I'm so overwhelmed. So they know it's not them and you don't hate them and think nothing of them. Swamped will respond as soon as humanly possible. Just an answer like that, that acknowledges them and makes them feel that you haven't violated their dignity, which is basically our feeling that other people value us.
We're talking with Amy Alcon right now. She's a Science Help author, speaker, and podcaster, and she's with us to give us some advice, etiquette lessons for the digital age. And I want to talk about those important emails that we get. Maybe it's that message from a friend who we haven't connected with in a long time, and they actually sit down to write you something resembling a letter. But you can't just write, cool, thanks, and send it back. You want to reply thoughtfully. And at least this happens to me. Sometimes I never reply, or it's months before I reply. And that's the most important thing in my inbox. What's going on there?
Well, we feel so guilty about being human and fallible that we just let that throw us. The thing is, we're all really busy. We get 2 tons of email. So I would, with someone like that, say, oh, what a wonderful letter. I can't wait to write back to you. I'm a little bit swamped, to do that thing, but also to realize to not turn yourself into a criminal. When you've done that, I actually just wrote to the LA Times Festival of Books ladies, who are so great to me. I wrote them a thank you note 6 months after the book festival, because I just turned in a book to my publisher. Everything was devoted to that. And I told them that. So you tell people the reason why. And I think the subject line was, this is probably like the latest thank you note ever, or something like that, because people want to get a response. And so, you know, they'll feel better once they get it, especially if you give them a reason. If you give them a reason, that sort of lets them off the hook emotionally from thinking that you think that they're a crumb.
Yeah, in the age of email and all the other stuff, I mean, used to be when you hand wrote a person a letter, that was kind of a big deal, right? It was a really special thing. Can email or any form of digital communication really match that these days?
I think it really is that old, it's the thought that counts. People can tell if you put a lot of thought into email, but by the same token, the truth is people don't want really long emails, and I am so guilty of this, you know, the Tolstoy length email. And so really shorter is better, but I have to say getting something in the mail is so special now, and I really recommend that for parties, that people, if you go to a party and somebody did more than put out a plate of tortilla chips, or a bowl, I guess, of tortilla chips, you should send them a thank you note. But this doesn't have to be some like big deal that you write on some expensive stationery. I get postcards, vintage postcards from eBay. The great thing about those, really small space to write stuff. Thanks. Great people. Great party. Love you.
Nice.
You know, and you're done.
We're talking with Amy Alcon right now. She's with us to help us sort out issues of etiquette in the digital age. She's a Science Help author, speaker, and podcaster, and the author of the book, Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say the F Word.
And we want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. Do you have an etiquette question or complaint in the world of email or texting or phone calling? Do you still call people up to talk apart from call-in radio shows, or is it inconsiderate? Do you find it a nuisance when people just call you out of the blue and expect you to talk to them? Call in now at 800-642-1234. We won't be annoyed or offended. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our conversation in just a little bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Amy Alcon is with us right now to look at questions of etiquette in the digital age. She's a Science Help author, speaker, and podcaster. Her book is called Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say the F Word.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. When it comes to digital communication, the phones, the texting, the social media posts, do you have an etiquette question, or, as I almost coined there, an etiquestion? Call in now, 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers. Joe is with us in Marinette. Joe, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, thanks. I tend to operate in the Eastern time zone, where you get a lot done early in the morning before other people get up and so forth. But people do travel, and especially Europe to California to Hawaii. There's almost 12 hours difference there. And so sometimes getting messages, people are not always at home, so that should not be looked at with disdain, but it's people are just taking advantage of where they're at and so forth. The other thing is that at work, yeah, work is one thing, but people have other responsibilities that may be work-related, and they're trying to do those things in the evening, and it is good to get something off your plate and get it on to somebody else. And sometimes I do appreciate answers, even if they come in late at night, because I know that in the morning then I can execute my other responsibilities. And finally, the etiquette of which media to respond in, I hate it when sometimes you have to call somebody, because email or text is good if it's just yes, no, or giving information. But if you have to discuss something, at some point I'm just going to call this person. And finally, it bugs me though when people email me and say, please call me. if that's important, then just you call me.
Uh-huh. Got it, Joe. Thanks a lot. A lot there to chew on. Joe's been thinking about this stuff. The time zone issue, Amy, a lot of people for work or personal reasons are working across time zones. Is it basic etiquette just to make sure that the time you're calling in is a reasonable hour to contact someone else?
Yeah, you really need to figure that out. And again, you need to ask people what they prefer, you know, or you can, some people you'll just know, you know, I don't, my litter agent, I was, you know, I send her things if it's an emergency at night, like I send her my book to send in the middle of the night on Sunday night, so she'd have it first thing New York time. But she's also a mom and has a family, and so I never send her things on the weekend. And she told me I'm the only one of her clients when she went on maternity leave who did not contact her, and believe
wow.
me, I am a needy person, and I wanted to, but I pretended. I thought she needs this time off. She's a right to this time off, so I pretended that she was in Greenland and had no access to email.
Oh, that's thoughtful. Well, Joe, thank you so much for asking those questions. We're going to go next to Scott, joining us in Whitewater. Scott, hi.
Hi. I don't think that texting is always a fair form of communication. My wife, now ex-wife. One of the most frustrating things was when I'd get home and she'd ask me if I did all the things she asked me to do. She goes, well, did you look at your text messages?
Right.
Like
that's,
sometimes, uh-huh. you know, you got the radio turned up or
understandable.
You know, you don't get your text messages. And it's like, why don't you just call?
Scott, that's a really great point. I think that happens a lot. There's the assumption now, Amy, that you have a phone, you can be checking your text so that you should be up to the minute on things or plans. And, you know, I think I've been like Scott, I've been on both sides of that, actually, where I've been annoyed at someone or had people annoyed at me because, hey, because I may not have checked my text before. I'm sure that was an incidental sound by you, Ron.
Sorry, I had to clear my throat.
Amy, what about that? Is it reasonable to expect someone to check their texts?
No, because people are very, very busy. Now, if all they do all afternoon is sit by the seashore, you know, and they're really just thinking a few thoughts, reading a novel, you know, maybe you could expect them to look at their phone. But, you know, the description, like being in the car and all busy and everything like that, that's human to not check your email. And the same thing also goes for people who don't respond to an email. Our first line of you know, our first thought is to think they hate me, they're treating me terribly and everything like that. And you know what? A lot of times they're maybe busy and got a slew of emails, or they didn't see your email, or they meant to respond to it and they forgot. And so what I like to do, instead of hating them, I just send the email back and say, maybe you missed this. So assuming that they are a good person who's busy rather than a person who thinks nothing of you and doesn't think that they're ever going to respond to your email.
Do you think that works, though? Isn't that a little tricky? I've thought of doing that, but it seems transparent. It seems like I'm obviously saying, hey, get back to me already.
Well, no, but it is a thing. You know, when you wait and you haven't gotten something within a reasonable amount of time. So if you're sending something that is not like, I need a response in 35 seconds, you know, like, are you going to talk about this on the radio or something like that? Then it's reasonable. Like you wait a day or two. And if the person hasn't gotten back to you, you send them something again. To give you an example of this, there's a psychiatrist who I really respect who does evolutionary medicine. And I wanted her to help me on a question and, you know, be quoted and everything. And so I emailed her. I didn't hear from her. Well, first of all, she didn't get the email. I sent something to her in a direct message. Didn't get that. So I resent it. And then I heard back from her and something is going on in her life. And so she told me, oh, I can't deal with this now. Mm-hmm. So there's this communication and it wasn't me thinking she hates me. She thinks this is stupid. You know, it was just, right. You should first assume that the person doesn't hate you, doesn't think it's stupid, didn't mean to forget your email or lose it, or it's in their spam folder along with all those people from Nigeria who want us to send them $3,000, you know, and write them back. And just I don't feel it's transparent in any bad way when I send that. Maybe you missed this because I'm not sending it angrily. And I have to say, I would have sent it angrily before I wrote this book, but I gave it a lot of thought and I realized, oh God, a lot of times we just miss it because life is busy now.
He said ex-wife, our caller, so maybe it's a little late for relationship advice, right. But maybe for a couple or people in a work environment, even set ground rules. Say, if you want me to get something on the way home from work, do it by 4:30 when I'm getting ready to leave. I will check before I get in the car. Like establishing ground rules could make a lot of difference for people.
Great example. So my boyfriend's been feeding me for a year while I've been sitting here at my computer, and he says, get your grocery list in early because he's going to the grocery store. So that's the consideration thing. He's told me he needs it at a certain time, you know, and just to give you one more example, I write a science-based love advice column, and I got a letter from a woman who, it was actually an email because no one sends letters anymore, except if they're in jail. She said, you know, she wanted her boyfriend to text her back. You know, he'd be at work and he was all busy. And so what happens with something like that is you meet in the middle. So she just wants to be acknowledged and he has a job to do. So what he does now is he sometimes texts her back and he texts her when he's not at work voluntarily without responding to something. Just, hey, babe, love you or whatever it is. So she knows that she is in his thoughts. This is actually called it's called the dependency paradox by a researcher, Brooke C. Feeney, who found that when people who are needy, if you just reach out to them, don't make them chase you, that they become more independent and less needy.
Oh, interesting. There could be a whole other segment with you where we talk about love advice in the digital age.
I love that.
Let's get another caller in. We've got Shane with us in Beloit. Hi, Shane.
Hi there. So I wanted to ask, what's a good way to, like, really convey sarcasm in email or text? Because the way I may write something may not be how you read it. There may be two completely different sort of perspectives on it. And it can cause a lot of confusion and maybe frustration. So it'd be nice to sort of eliminate that if possible.
I see. Amy?
I've got an answer for you. And the best way is actually, in brackets, sarcasm alert, as in those two words.
Ah. Okay, not an emoji. I thought you were going to go for an emoji there.
Oh, no. I'm too old for emojis, except the poop emoji, which just charms me.
Shane, what about that? Could you see yourself doing that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, sarcasm alert.
I have kind of the opposite problem when I send emails and I read it back. If I've done periods at the end of every sentence, it looks terse or rude or dry. And so I add exclamation points. Thanks! Exclamation point, yeah. Which isn't really fitting my normal everyday personality. Also, because if people know me, they'll think I'm being sarcastic. So I feel like I need those exclamation points to cheer it up a little. Is that okay?
I don't know. You come off as pretty snippy, I think, in digital communications.
I mean, yeah.
I think that we just don't think about stuff like this. You know, we just do it. We do this thing and we get this knee-jerk response. And the more you do something, the more it becomes this behavior that's worn in neurally. And so you actually have to back up and think about it. That's the thing that we need to do with all sorts of things on the internet. Privacy, who you'll be, like how nice you'll be, how you'll treat other people, and also what you'll do when other people are rude to you. And the thing about email, you can just take 5 minutes and think about your email style. I do this exclamation point thing too, and I realize it makes me sound like I'm eight. And so I try not to do it so much. I usually, it's like, see, you won't understand this as a guy, but as a girl, you accessorize, you know, you put on your earrings and your hair thing and your scarf, and then you have to like take off two things. So it's the same kind of thing with an email. You take out two exclamation points.
Huh. That's an interesting one.
I only do one. I don't do like the triple exclamation
point. Rob's pretty heavily accessorized. I don't know. Well, maybe not.
Well, Elmore Leonard, the crime writer, he said you get one exclamation point per book.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. This is reframing everything for me to go easy on the exclamation
marks.
Email's
different.
Right. Well, Amy, I want to ask you about something we haven't touched on really yet is RSVPing in the digital age, because I find, and I'm interested to hear your take, that people seem to be a little more lax when you invite them through a digital form. Maybe it's a Facebook invite. Maybe it's an email with a whole bunch of people. Some people, they seem to think, well, this is an email. I don't need to RSVP, even though it says RSVP. Is that loosening up the whole practice of RSVPing?
It's terrible. It is such a huge pet peeve of mine. And so many people are so lax about this. I RSVP right away, right when I get an invitation, even to say maybe, because those electronic annoying ones have the maybe thing, because I know that the person will get no responses or maybe one response and feel terrible. So I want them to get at least my response. And so, yeah, this is a huge problem.
Is it okay in an invite to say, and maybe this is more of a casual way to approach it, hey, let me know if you're coming. I need to know how much food to buy or something like that, to say, here's, it's not just, I'm just trying to get a ballpark figure. Like, I really want to know how many people are coming for planning reasons.
Does it sound a little snippy again?
Well, if it's coming from me, yes.
It does sound a little snippy. But actually, the problem is a digital thing. So we respond to other humans. This is like people being rude on the road. We're in our auto bubble. We're in the digital bubble, and there's just a link that you're supposed to click on. You're not seeing that as that person with hurt feelings or who's just sitting there wondering how much food to buy or how much they're going to waste. And so this sounds really stupid, and this is not based in a study, but I would put in a little picture of your face, like just a little social media one, not that's all, you know, whatever it is, that what's that kissy face thing, the duck face thing.
Yeah.
Not a duck face selfie, but just say, you know, I need your response, and actually have them respond to your email, because I know people like those groovy invitations, you know, that you can click on the internet. People hate to click on links. I know this is a blogger. It's really terrible. I mean, like, what does it take? 1 second? You know, first world problem. But just have them respond to your email. You're more likely to get a response. And I do like this thing of, like, I need to know how much food to buy and everything. But you still may not get one. It's just really terrible.
Well, Amy, so much to chew on there and maybe change. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I love the topic. Thanks for having me.
That was Amy Alkin. She's a Science Help author, speaker, and podcaster. She's the author of the book Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say the F Word. She joined us to talk about the new rules of etiquette for a digital age.
So lessons learned here. We're going to respond to each other's texts immediately from now on, no matter the time of day.
Absolutely.
Is that the right takeaway?
And more exclamation points.
I may just
especially
text you an
part.
Exclamation point.
This is Central Time.